Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Odd Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in, and apologies for taking another short break. My schedule got mad busy, so I didn't have time to prepare for a show last week, but I hope you enjoyed that Myth and Right piece that I wrote in its stead. Eyes is a great album, so I hope my words helped convince you to pick it up via iTunes, Apple Music, or CD Japan. I did want to start off the show with some really kick-ass news, because one of our favorite anime series may be coming back later this year, and that is Non Non Biori. It's really a show about nothing, but it's so damn relaxing and fun to watch, and I'm glad that it's coming back for what seems to be a third season. It didn't say exactly what it's going to be. It could be an OVA or a movie, although honestly, I don't know how a Non Non Biori movie would work. It's much better if it's a series, not a film. But anyways, I feel like Silverlink, the guys who produced Non Non Biori on the animation side, they kind of need a win in their books after the abomination known as Masamune Kun's Revenge. That series was a fucking train wreck. And I believe the only thing that could help to brush it under the rug as is more slice-of-life adventures with Renge, Hotaru, and the Koshiyagi sisters Kamari and Natsumi. If you haven't yet, grab it on Blu-ray from Sentai Filmworks. It's one of the best anime series of the last decade. In fact, we put it on our list at number 8 of the top anime from 2006 to 2015. So you know, it's an excellent show. Trust me, we won't sway you towards any bad anime. It's kind of our job to make sure you don't watch any bad anime. Non Non Biori is fantastic, and I hope you guys get a chance to watch it. Anyways, let's get the podcast rolling. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab us about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start the show off with a cut from this season's great anime series, Anonymous Noise, which you can watch on Amazon's Anime Strike. This is the band that's the focus of the series, In No Hurry to Shout, with Nino's voice actress Sari Hayami providing the vocals to it. This kick-ass song is called Canary.
しの中で疼くのよ怪物かね。
From our album of the year pick of 2016, Metal Resistance. The J-pop trio and their combi band recently finished their tour with Red Hot Chili Peppers and will soon be returning to US this summer on a tour with Korn. That sounds like it'd be a really cool show. This weekend, another classic TV-to-film adaptation hits the big screen. Well, I wouldn't call it a classic, but it sure had its fan base. I'm talking about Baywatch, which had Horrible Bosses director Seth Gordon at the helm, and starring The Rock Dwayne Johnson as Mitch Buchanan and Zac Efron as washed-up Olympic gold medalist Matt Brody. The film follows Mitch helping to uncover a massive drug trade that's connected to the head of the Huntley Club, while keeping his new trainee in line. Now, Baywatch takes a route similar to the great 21 Jump Street adaptations, where everything is more played up with laughs. Well, technically, the original Baywatch was laughable, but not intentionally. It's fairly goofy from start to finish, with a lot of hilarious dialogue and some dick humor here and there that can get a little bit graphic. I actually had to cover my eyes in one scene while trying not to laugh my jaw off. One of those, that's gross, but alright, that's pretty fucking funny moments. I'd hesitate to say that the acting is great, but it's just the right amount of hamming up needed for a silly premise like Baywatch has. I would actually compare it to something like the first Anchorman film in regards to how the character portrayals were. Slightly cartoonish, but fitting for something like Baywatch. Baywatch has some pretty good chase sequences here and there, some fantastic action scenes leading up towards a battle and a fireworks display that gets hilariously gory in all the right ways. And the cameos from two of the original cast didn't feel useless, especially when David Hasselhoff shows up to give Mitch some words of wisdom. All in all, I have to say that the Baywatch movie is very much worth the price of admission. I'll say that it's actually funnier than the 21 Jump Street films, but not as smart. It has more laughs, but it's not as intelligent. It's kind of like how I felt comparing Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles and Seth MacFarlane's A Million Ways to Die in the West. I felt A Million Ways to Die in the West had a lot more laughs than Blazing Saddles, but Blazing Saddles is far more smarter than A Million Ways to Die in the West. I can give Baywatch a 4.5 star rating. Definitely give it your time and just prepare for a lot more male nudity than, but actually none of the girls got naked in this film. You would think a Baywatch movie would have something small like a topless scene, but nope, it's just dicks, 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 dicks. Just a warning, but it doesn't take away from how entertaining the film was. And it seriously was entertaining. A lot of great laughs. I highly recommend checking it out. Don't believe most of the critics. I feel like maybe Boston got a better cut of this film. Anyways, coming up, we have a band that just finished a tour with Japanese rockers Vamps. They're called Palais Royale, whom I'm sure you remember me talking about on the previous episode. This cut is from their debut album, Boom Boom Room Side A, and it's a lovely introduction known as How Do You Do?
The gun moaning, how do you do? The peanut butter bill, looking for you.
Yeah. sing to the altar through the wedding. You're a fairy, one of many. Let's go dancing to the altar through the wedding.
Go!
NanoRipe with Real World from their 2012 record Plus to Minus no Shikumi. NanoRipe just recently released their 17th single, Yoro no Taru, and will be doing a small tour in various cafes throughout Japan. Now, this particular track also served as the opening theme to the great anime comedy series Humanity Has Declined, which first aired in Japan back in 2012. It follows an unnamed girl who traverses through the country during a time when, as the title suggests, humanity is being wiped out by lack of necessities. The world is also filled with some creepy yet adorable fairies whose presence is both a blessing and a burden on the humans. If they're around, the fortune of the humans is better, but at a small price. No fairies? Survival in general is somewhat bleak. Some of you may have seen a clip of a robotic piece of bread just ripping itself open to what appears to be a bloody mess. That is from Humanity Has Declined, and I can tell you that that particular scene is the least fucked up of them all. There are bare, headless chickens squawking about world domination, strange deja vu scenarios that lead to multiple clones of the nameless heroine baking sweets for the fairies, and a viewing of a fairy world rising and destroying itself in a couple days. But all of it is presented in a very hilarious tone. Humanity Has Declined has its darker moments, though, as the backdrop of a post-apocalyptic world is always in the viewer's eyes. What the fairies say from time to time is also grim, from talking about oppression and death and capitalism and hierarchy. Thankfully, it's all silly because it's coming out of the mouths of these adorable little people wearing funny hats. Anyways, I don't want to give too much away, as it's definitely one of those anime that you need to watch to fully understand. You can catch Humanity Has Declined on Crunchyroll and the Anime Network, and grab it in stores from Sentai Filmworks. I know it's a few years old, but it's definitely worth checking out. It's really funny. And you know, the show sometimes actually shows up on various Japanese polls as to which show they'd like to see come back for a second season, because the light novels went for, I believe, 16 volumes. And I think they only covered the first couple of volumes in this 12-episode series. So I think it would be wise if whoever did it, I think it was AIC who animated it, if they did bring it back for a second season, maybe in the next year or so, my personal opinion. But I feel like it's a great show that more people should definitely be checking out, not just the weird bread robot guy killing himself in front of the pink-haired girl. Anyways, let's go back to some more music. 9mm Parabellum Bullet are back with a brand new album called Babble, and this is a song from it, and I was listening to the album the other day. It's great. It's a much, much bigger improvement over last year's Waltz on Lifeline. From Babble, here in 9mm Parabellum Bullet with a song called Everyone is Fighting on This Stage of Lonely.
たずたに破られた埃と裏腹に燃え上がる何かに開いた口が塞がらないね。眼差しにまた光を宿せ。さあ鎌倉時代に流されるなよ。倒れた勇気を
from their upcoming somewhat self-titled debut album. Be sure to check it out when it hits stores nationwide on June 30th. So, somebody, somehow, found a way to get me bit by the K-drama bug. She told me about this new Korean series called Circle, Two Worlds Connected, which you can watch on the Drama Fever app. As of this recording, there are two episodes thus far, so I figured maybe this would be a good way to start getting into this huge world of K-dramas. And man, what a way to start me off into this genre of entertainment. So Circle, Two Worlds Connected is split into two parts in each episode. The first takes place in 2017, focusing on the twin brothers Kim Woo-jin and Kim Byung-gun. As kids, they witnessed an alien land who transformed into a human woman. The alien then found a way to take away the twins' dads and has disappeared since. The day after Byung-gun gets out of prison, the woman seemingly reappears in the form of college student Jung-yeon. Jingu thinks his brother is crazy, but things slowly start to connect between his conspiracy theories and the recent strings of mysterious deaths. Now the second half of each episode flashes forward to 2037, where there are two sides of Earth, the cleaner, crime-free smart Earth, and the run-down, smoggy, normal Earth. A murder occurs on smart Earth, the first of any kind in its 15-year existence. Detective Kim Jung-hyuk uses his force and intelligence to gain access to Smart Earth, where it appears he is also looking for the twins from the first half of these episodes. And the deeper it goes, the more it appears will be revealed about not just all these characters, but why there's no crime in Smart Earth and the like. Just from these first two episodes alone, I can predict that Circle Two Worlds Connected will spawn some sort of English language remake somewhere down the line. The storytelling is that good, and as I'm watching it, it's making me start to connect the dots on what's going on. I'm starting to believe the detective is one of the twins under a new identity, with the other twin somehow behind the attempted cover-ups of the murders on Smart Earth. There's also the whole function of what the chips actually do that are implanted in the people of Smart Earth, which, again, having to put two and two together, I think I know what might be occurring. I don't really want to spoil too much, but I will say that Circle Two Worlds Connected is so far a pretty great show. And if you're like me and have zero experience with the K-drama world, I say it's a good one to start off with. I have no idea what the series will entail as it progresses, but it definitely has piqued my interest. You can catch Circle Two Worlds Connected on Drama Fever, and who knows, maybe K-dramas will be added to the list of stuff I'll be covering in the near future. You know, it's kind of funny, because I know I've talked a little bit about this on previous episodes, but you know how I can be when it comes to recent American television. Like, most of the shows on there are total trash, which is why I've been sticking more to watching stuff like anime on Crunchyroll, because I'm thinking, alright, this is where the good storytelling is. Apparently that might not be the case. Maybe Japan is the cream of the crop when it comes to animated storytelling. And maybe South Korea is the cream of the crop when it comes to live action storytelling. But this is just for me watching one show, and this is, I'm probably like overthinking it too much. But who knows, a lot of my friends are so into K-dramas that it's crazy. So maybe, just maybe, there's something to this whole K-drama scene that I need to dive deeper into. But anyways, let's head back into this week's playlist. Fans of Boruto will instantly recognize this thing. This is the Peggies with a B-side from their Dreamy Journey single. It's called Terulia Summerfish.
Let night.
Here's Just Bring an album. That was Band Made with Cross, one of our favorite records thus far. Band Made will be touring Japan this summer, so be sure to visit bandmade.tokyo for more information. E3 is coming up next week, and we're not going. We got declined for the first time ever, which makes me super sad. It's that event where I can not only just check out some amazing titles, but also catch up with my West Coast friends. So I'm more bummed about the latter than I am the former. Oh, well, c'est la vie. I'm sure we'll find a way to cover something regarding E3. But anyways, one piece of leaked news that has me probably more excited than most is that Nintendo and Ubisoft are teaming up for a video game that combines the worlds of Super Mario and those lovable crazy bastards, the Rabbids. Tentatively titled Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, the game appears to take the role of an RPG where you can play as Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, and four Rabbids dressed up like the respective characters. According to our friend Brandon Hoffer at Gaming Target, the game will be action-based, have two-player co-op, and sport a 20-hour story campaign. And I have no idea what the story is going to be like, but I'm excited to see what it's going to entail. Considering that it's the Rabbids entering the world of Mario, it'd be great to have it be some sort of silly, nonsensical tale. I know the Mario games aren't at all serious, but I wouldn't say they're laugh-out-loud funny. Just an FYI, I'm talking about the main Mario series, not counting the Paper Mario series, as those are often humorous. But to see Mario and a rabbit maybe, say, fighting over a mushroom or a coin would hopefully build up to some crazy slapstick humor that the Mario series hasn't really dove into as of recent memory. At any rate, I'm excited to hear more about Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, as well as what else will be revealed at E3 2017. Even though we won't be going there this year. Also, is it me, or does that Far Cry 5 game seem like it's just a brighter version of Outlast 2? You know, just its settings and characters, they just felt a bit too similar to that recent sequel. That just made me think of that while talking about Ubisoft, since they do the Far Cry series. Anyways, let's head on back to the playlist for a couple more songs. From Catania, Italy, comes a shoegazing band by the name Cluster Sun. Their second album, Sun Phasing to Breathe, just dropped, so we're gonna play something from that. This song is called Emotional Painkiller.
Oh, もちゃの両目喉に詰め込んだ五本指汚れた酸素を僕は吸って息ながら得てる太陽の見えない青々とした空君が吐いてた汚い言葉
would not from her debut album Mikazuki no Kokai. You might remember Sayori for her contributions to the anime series Erased and Rampo Kitan Game of Laplace. By the way, Mikazuki no Kokai, it's now my top contender for album of the year. It is truly fantastic. Out of all the albums I play on this week's episode, this is one that you definitely need to own. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. Like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade and on Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Lucky in Love and Cluster Sun, provided by Shameless Promotion PR. Thank you as always for sending down these artists for us to play. Hey Andrew, Jonathan, what's happening on the next episode of Wicked Anime?
Well, on the next episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast, we talk about what anime deserves the Dragon Ball Z Kai treatment.
That's right, animes that can be shorter.
Yeah.
Take cutting content out.
There absolutely are some that should be.
Yes, and we did talk about that.
Yeah, there also are some that are shorter that shouldn't be, like movies. There's a lot. Listen.
Do it.
Okay, bye, Evan.
Bye, twinsies! By the way, that was a fun episode to record, so be sure to go to the Nerdy Show page this Thursday to hear it, or subscribe to Wicked Anime on iTunes. Today we're going to end the show with the newest single from Fauna. You might have heard this track if you watched the current season of The Eccentric Family. It's called Moon River. No relation to the Andy Williams song of the same name. Until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Kani, ukabu, kasanata te ni.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.